Welcome back to our Purple and Gold Point After Show. Mike Dottillo along with Herb Tyler. We're at Acme Orchard House, 3535 Perkins Road in Baton Rouge. If you're in the area, stop on by. They got all kind of food and drink specials here at Acme. Also, if you want to win some Acme, say, swag, and they give away some gift cards, come on by. You can fill it in. It's almost like a little tip jar right in front of us.
That's
that
right.
You can fill in your name and telephone number, and they'll pull it after the show for the giveaways. We also want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction. Map Built, Build Beyond. Herb on the defensive side, the football for LSU in their 36-33 victory, which ended on a missed field goal by South Carolina. Again, we see a lot of missed tackles by LSU. It doesn't matter if it's up front along the defensive line, linebacker, or in the secondary, a lot of missed tackles. But if you want a game that you want to send the scouts, Braden,
yeah,
man, Braden Swinson had it today. Three sacks. And, man, he was a problem coming off the edge. Now, some of that, too, and I got to give credit where credit's due. Harold Perkins set up a couple of those.
He sure did.
You could see the blocking scheme trying to figure out where he was going to come from, and it freed up Braden.
That's right. Swinson had a fantastic game. Can't take anything away from that. What that means to me is the fact that now the film that he's put on tape today, you know, offenses got, they have to be mindful of that.
You're going to have to adjust to it.
So that's going to help Harold Perkins in the long run, as well as everybody else on defense. But what I liked the way that how Swinson played was the fact that he played aggressive and he played hard.
Yes.
He played with a little tenacity. He played with that dog in him, and I like that. And the other thing, too, is when you go back and look at the film from today, you talked about the missed tackles, and they came from pretty much everywhere. It was almost like, man, that was a big man coming downhill. Do I really want to be a part of that? Some of those were some business decisions, as you say.
It's always a business decision.
There you go. And some of it was just flat out, just they just didn't perform and make the play. But what I will say is we gave up 243 yards rushing. That's way too many yards rushing against a team that all they're going to do is rush on you, basically, or try to.
Once so Lenoris went down, Lenoris Sellers went down with the ankle injury. Man, you talk about a team that was relying on him. And not, I don't think he's a great passer at this stage, but he's a 6'4", 230-pound guy. And, man, when he takes off with the football, you're in trouble.
He's the heart and soul of that offense and probably
you can
that
tell.
Football team. You can see
they
that.
Were never the same after
they
he
were
went
not,
down.
They were not the same, but they still was in the game. And they could have won the game and many opportunities to win the game. He even tried to come back in and play, but he just couldn't do it. I'm not sure how long he's going to be out for. But what I will say, too, is when Robbie came in to play, he made some terrible plays. He got stopped a few times, but he made some great plays. But I think those great plays were – because LSU was just out of position, or we just didn't have the right angle, or we didn't have the right pursuit, or something like that. But at the end of the day, I think it's we can't have those missed tackles. We got to play with heart. We got to play with passion. And I think the guys play with that. I just don't know what's the technique. Like, why are we missing these tackles? Why are we out of position sometimes?
And, Herb, sometimes the guy's right in
front of them.
And they can't bring them down. The other point of contention, we've talked about this since our first shows, is the fact that LSU special teams ain't nothing special about. Now, Xavier Thomas, I'll give him credit.
He's
about it. Yeah. In the special teams part of the game, Ramos, I don't blame him on the miss
because
that was a bad snap from center. But you can't have a blocked snap from center. You can't have a blocked punt, especially against Shane Beamer's team. Because look what his dad built the reputation on. Frank Beamer built that Virginia Tech program
on
special teams and
ball.
Defense.
That's right.
Beamer ball.
That's right. So to go back to the defense – had five sacks today. That's awesome. Keep that up. If they can continue that moving forward, we'll be fine. We just got to make some plays. When you start going to special teams and you're having botched snaps, you can't hold the ball, getting blocked kicks, things of that nature, that tells me it's an undisciplined team. That tells me we're not doing something right from Tuesday to Friday to make sure these guys are ready to play the game. Something's going on there. So How do you fix that? I think that's a coaching situation.
I was going to ask you that because with all these sort of being out of alignment situations, penalties, sort of the same mistakes over and over, you've got to point that finger at the coaching staff here.
You know what I see?
That's, to me, a lot of people don't like to do it.
No, that's
But it's reality at this stage.
Well, the reality is the weeks. This game is proof in the pudding that we have the talent to win games. The talent really won that game. It's the ability of the guys and the want and that kind of stuff was what is what won that game. Now, when you start talking about those little brain fart, as we call them, penalties, useless that are just not provoked type of things that are happening, that reminds me of the tail end of Les Miles, the tail end of Coach O. All of those that's what that reminds me of. So it tells me some kind of way that we're not doing something Tuesday through Friday to get these guys prepared, and the culture of what we're doing is not as stringent as Alabama per se. It's not as stringent as a Texas is playing or Georgia or somebody like that where you don't see these guys making these kind of penalties that are not provoked and having these mental breakdowns or having these fundamental breakdowns that are things that are just normal. What you do every day, all day long, is the same thing. There's nothing spectacular about it. Snap the ball, get it, put it down, kick the ball through the field goal. Done. I don't know why we can't do – I don't know why it's not second nature. I'm just not – I can't put my finger on it. But I can say this, though. I think it's coaching. I don't think it's 100%. And when I say it's coaching, it's not that they're not trying to coach the guys up. It's maybe what you're trying to do is not getting through to them. And how do you get through to them? Maybe you have to change your approach, adjust the way you speak to them, adjust the way the practices are, adjust the way you're trying to get them or coach them to do that specific skill.
I look at it, is there a running play that you can hang your hat on today for LSU?
Okay.
Is there a running play that you can hang your hat on? The answer is no.
You mean a running play that we can be successful at?
No, what I mean is that constantly wins for you.
Yeah, there is one, and we never do it. It's called
Okay, if you don't do it, then it's hidden.
That's right. Well, I don't know if it's hidden, but it's hidden in plain sight, right?
Okay.
How many times were we at the goal line at the 4th-and-2, 3rd-and-2, 2nd-and-2, 1st-and-2, whatever-and-2 at the goal line, or 3rd-and-2, and you need to get a first down? And we did this, hand the ball off and watch him run up the middle, and everybody's there. And no one's watching the quarterback. At least 7 times today, I can probably remember that. And so with that being said, to me, you pull that ball, you get 4 yards, you get down, you got a first down. If you're 3rd-and-2 at the goal line, you get 3 yards, you're a touchdown. If you get 2 yards, you got a touchdown. So when you ask me for a play, the play is there. I think
so. The play is in the hands of the quarterback.
The execution of it is not there. It's in a situation like that. That's what I see, because if you go back, and because I'm gonna go back and watch the game tonight or tomorrow morning, and I know I will see the same thing I saw today, which is and last week and the week before, just pull the ball. They're not even concerned with Nussmeier running the ball. Just pull it once, and you can get the first down and slide. I don't need you to run for 30 yards and 50 yards or outrun the whole D team or anything like that. I just need you to get the first down so we can keep the drives going. It's weird because that's the only thing that I can say that is not a Nuss negative, but it's not really a negative because I don't think he's being taught to do that. I think the play is in the playbook, but it's more, hey, we want you to get rid of the ball. You get the ball, give the ball, give the ball.
I think you know why, because early on in this season, he's had success throwing it.
Yeah.
And so I think that you have to have that ability, and we're not asking him to be Jaden Daniels.
No.
There's only one guy like that. But I think we all see Jaden may have covered up a lot of weaknesses
100%.
Up front. Okay, it's all about ability, agility, flexibility. Man, Jaden had it all in the fact that he could run the football so well, and he developed into a very good downfield passer.
Yep.
But the elements missing is, okay, he rushed for over 1,100 yards last year. He had you on your heels every time he touched it because you were scared. Kind of had the doo-doo in the diaper.
That's right.
That he could take off running with the ball. I think they have to give Garrett that option, because I think he's a good enough athlete to do that from time to time. I'm not asking him to rush for 1,100 yards, but you got to have that element, not to have 11 guys converging on a running back.
I'm not asking him to do it on first and second down.
Correct.
I'm only asking you to do this on third and two, where you have an option for us to get a first down and get down. Or you're at the goal line, this is an option, and you can get in and score easily. It's there. It's always been there. And the reason why it's there is because he hasn't done it. He's done it once or twice this season. But the reason it's there is because they don't respect the fact that he's going to do it. And they don't need to, because we haven't shown, quite frankly, that we're going to do that. But if you ask me a question, that is the only play that I can hang my hat on and say this is it. Now,
the passing plays are different.
Well, the passing plays, he's been phenomenal. He's one of the top quarterbacks in the country. He can see the field.
He had one bad pass today.
He had that one pass, which was an intercept touchdown return that was called back. But I don't know if that was a bad pass because of not being able to make the decision. I mean, throwing the ball physically, it was a decision. It was. I don't know.
Now he got hit after the play.
He did.
So what we don't know is, did the receiver extend that route? Because he can make you look bad. Come on, it's happened to you.
He can. But what I saw was the problem was that he saw the field, and then from the center to the right side of the field, which is where he threw the ball, and center to the left side, the strength of the defense was on the right side.
Right.
He should have automatically come away from that. He could have looked to the right to kind of buy him some more time from the safety on the left-hand side, left hash, to pull him over a little bit, because Aaron Anderson was coming open going to a corner route on that. So I think that he just got fooled by the defense, and he didn't see what was actually happening. Not sure why he threw the ball the way he did. It was almost like he expected somebody to kind of run under the ball or something. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't the thing. So I think that was a mental breakdown on this point. But outside of that, Nussmeier is not the problem.
No.
First of all, we have a problem, but it's not a problem. The problem is not with the players, I don't think. I think the problem is with the culture and what we're doing, and how do we – and I say culture, and I want to use that word loosely. I don't want to use that as like, oh, the culture is on fire. I'm not saying that. What I am saying, though, is there's some things we got to clean up. It's an ugly win. It was beautiful at the same time, because it's a win against South Carolina on the road at 11 o'clock, which LSU generally doesn't do. But we ended up squeaking out a win in a tough environment with in a lackluster way. And so I'm going to take that all day long. But what I do know is we need to clean up the senseless penalties. We need to clean up the fundamental acts that are just simple to do on a day-by-day or game-by-game basis. And I think we're going to be fine. I really do. I think that we have an opportunity to be a good football team. Great football team? No. Good? Yes.
Next week you play another I think South Carolina's a more physical team than UCLA. I would look at them as more of a finesse team. And just the way they've played in the past.
Yeah.
I know one thing. Charbonnet is not on that team, because when Coach Odenall started that season right after Ida, man, Charbonnet, he's still running there trying to tackle him.
He was impressive, wasn't he?
Man, he's a man out there on that field.
I watched him the rest of the year, and he did the same thing to everybody.
To everybody.
So it wasn't just us. I get it. No, he was great. So UCLA is coming in. I hope we don't go into this game with the same mindset as USC. Oh, USC is a not physical team. They're a finesse team. They're going to da-da-da-da-da. Well, we get out there, and they were very, very physical. We underestimated who they were on defense. We underestimated their physicality up front on the offensive side of the ball. And so this is going to be interesting, because UCLA comes to town, and this is going to be, in my mind, a huge game for LSU football. It's not an SEC game, but it is a game that can make up for the USC loss, but also a game that can say, okay, we're 2-1 right now. How can we go 3-1?
I agree with you. And, you know, listen, we've been through a long summer, and they got some really hot days. I just hope they got one real hot one left, and that is Saturday afternoon. And people say, oh, UCLA, they used to play in hot weather. Not this kind of heat.
Not this kind of heat.
And humidity. They're not used to that.
They're used to playing in sunshiny weather, but not hot.
Yeah, exactly. And the Tulane Green Wave have cut into Oklahoma's lead. It is 24-19. They had a pickoff go in four, 6 points and a touchdown for the Green Wave.
Nice.
They tried to go for 2 points, failed the two-point conversion. So Oklahoma is just starting the fourth quarter, has a 24-19 lead over the Green Wave. And, man, early on, Oklahoma was chewing them up.
They were.
Throwing the football. And now Tulane has made a run of this, 24-19 with 14 minutes, 20 seconds left in the fourth quarter. We'll be back with more of our Purple and Gold Point After Show, presented by MAP Construction. We're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road in Baton Rouge. We'll be back with more Purple and Gold Point After right after this break.